NBA Australia, how are you going? You're probably fine. I trust that you are. I believe in you. That's right, it is NBA Australia. It's Wednesday, April 24, hump day. Especially hump day today, Gerald. That's right, we've got producer Gerald over there because it's Anzac Day tomorrow. So most of you probably have the day off. Your mate Jim doesn't. He's only got to do a bloody NBA Australia and an AFL Today live show and an AFL Today after that.
Jeez!
I'll tell you what. Either way, I am your host, James Clements. You can see me on the AFL Today show, the official AFL Supercoach podcast, all that good stuff, Fox Sports Lab NBA, here in the studio, just, you know, standing. If you're not watching this on YouTube, we've got a sick setup. Producer Gerald's over there. I'm sitting here drinking from a cup, feeling good about stuff. Anyway, had some wicked, wicked games today. We're going to talk those out, the game twos. How good was that Dallas Clippers game? God damn. Tyrese Maxey won the MIP. That's right, the most improved, a.k.a. the, oh, he was really good this year award, apparently. And, yeah, it turns out the Sixers got jobbed. So we'll talk that one out. That was fun. That'll be in the game wraps as well. That's not an iPhone, mate. No, mate. Spot of the night. Better than Lonzo Ball. We've got some, yeah, Nasi, unpopular opinion of the day, Outback Takehouse. And, of course, the Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, because that's what we do here. And then we'll pick and preview the two games tomorrow. There's only two, apparently. Because you might, you know, as we are all esteemed math magicians here, how many have we had? We've had six game two so far. That leaves two remaining. So I'll dig into those. That'll be really fun. We went 3 of 3 on the picks today. So I hope you also saw the live video I did this morning, walking squid number two back from dropping his brother off at school. Just jumping the old dog and bone. Film the video, get your picks in, show us your picks. That's what it's all about. So, good times. All right, without further ado, let's get into episode 1082 of NBA Australia. Well, let's go!
This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Yeah, you better. Especially, I don't know, if you're the Suns. Now, Shaq, I told you time and time again. Their big guys aren't big enough, and they need a point guard. Shaq, they need a point guard.
Chuck, the big man just need to dominate. Chuck, they just need, the big man needs to dominate.
You could almost, like, script out your own episode of Inside the NBA at this point. Oh, geez, does Shaq think that the big man needs to dominate? And does Charles Barkley think that they're taking too many jump shots? I, for one, am shocked. And then Kenny's like, hey, I'm going to say nothing and do nothing, and I'm not very interesting at all. And then Ernie's just like, I'm white. Right, let's do today's start today's show the way we start every show at NBA Australia. I don't know. Just talking about Eddie. Ernie, what am I talking about, Eddie? With the daily, whoosh, it's a whip around. Let's start with the Sixers. They got dogged by the refs. That's right, we talked this one out yesterday. The whinging was the bit that got me. The inbounds pass at the end, according to the refs, Jalen Brunson grabbed Maxey's jersey before the ball was inbounded. Josh Hart bumped Maxey as he caught the inbounds pass, which is how he fell to the ground, and turned the ball over. So they reckon it was a correct no call on Tyrese Maxey pushing off on Josh Hart, going the old whoopang. Brunson, no call for the foul on Tyrese Maxey as the inbound is happening, and then Josh Hart for knocking him over as well. It's like, sure, Sixers fans can hang that banner. It's like two correct non-calls. You're still down 0-2. And this is the thing that annoys me the most about this with the Sixers stuff, is like whinging and bitching and moaning about it. It's not going to change the result, and all it does is take your focus off what actually needs to be done, which is win fucking game three. Like, if you expend that much emotional energy, you go, we should have won the game. Even the ref said we should have, and they screwed up in the moment. Yeah, guess what you're going to do in game three? You better fucking come out and deliver, or you're going to look like a pack of assholes. Like, it's simple as that sometimes. So fingers crossed for the Sixers and the Sixers fans. They actually, you know, come out and stomp them in game three. I, for one, am rooting for that because that would be fucking rad. That'd be good. You know who's probably not going to do that? Tobias Harris. All right. Who will, however? Tyrese Maxey, likely, because he's awesome. He also got named, that's right, the most improved player of the year. Now, this might seem weird to you, as it does to me, because he was already really good. And also, he didn't improve as much as some other players, including the two players who got the second and third spots. That would be our man Kobe White and Alperen Şengün, the Turkish delight, as he's now known as, according to me right now. But weird one, right? So Maxi, there's a very simple idea that he was really fucking good. I love Tyrese Maxi, but at the same time, his improvement basically just came about because he had the ball more, because they didn't have James Harden having the ball all the time. So Maxi's like, I just get to have the ball all the time. Now, look at this. And his shooting efficiency actually dropped. He scored more points. He was better. But I don't know if he's most improved. Kobe White, he actually came from the fucking clouds, shredded, and was awesome. And, like, actually genuinely improved. Improved. Can I speak? No. Genuinely improved because his shooting percentages went up. His scoring went up. Usage went up. And away he went. That was awesome. I love Kobe White. Same with Şengün too. But still, I still reckon Jalen Williams should have won this fucking award. Like, he was absolutely awesome. We saw, what, little peaks of this last year. But by the same token, like, you should obviously improve in your second year in the NBA. So I'm okay with J-Dub not getting the nod. I just find it weird that Maxi got it. But either way, the voting of it was really, really weird as well, because if you look back through it, like, people were voting Cam Thomas. So I don't know. He's the same thing as Tyrese Maxey. I don't know if it improved. He just played more. Like, Brunson, he got 3 first place votes for most improved. Now, I can actually see an argument for that where he's gone from, I'm a starter on a good team, I'm a starter, I'm a fucking superstar, and I'm leading the number 2 seed in the East. Like, with an extremely heavy load. Like, that was pretty cool. Halliburton got 1 first place vote because apparently that voter stopped fucking watching in January. Good job. Duncan Robinson somehow got 4 third place votes. Apparently Miami has 4 actual voters. Because who the fuck in their right mind was like, you know who improved the most this year, the third most? Duncan Robinson. It's like this Jimmy Neutron looking motherfucker. All he does is shoot threes. Well, not anymore. He can actually pass the ball and actually score from a couple of different levels. That doesn't mean he's the most improved player, you dickheads. Jalen Suggs got a couple of second place spots. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got 1 second spot. It's like, all right, he's in the MVP voting. Well, that's because he's so improved, you see. He's really improved. We should give him the most. I actually don't mind that argument. It's actually pretty good. Devin Vassell, because apparently local teams get their own votes. Denny Avdija, this is my favorite, because this is very clearly like either the Washington, like, beat writer or like Drew Gooden on the broadcast has a vote in this. He got a first place vote. Somebody in their right mind has looked around the entire NBA and went, you know who was actually the most improved this year? Denny Avdija. That's nuts. He got 5 second spots and 4 third place votes. That's insane. There are apparently 10 voters within the greater Washington, D.C. area then, who are clearly, maybe, allegedly, according to, I don't know, me, on the take. Right, what else do we have for news? Not much, but Kawhi was back today. Kind of fun, kind of wicked. And also, TMZ reporting Nikola Jokic's brother, Stevanja, just punched a dude in the head in the crowd the other day. How's that, producer Gerald? There was some dude giving like a giant Serbian lip, and guess what the giant Serbian did? Fucking wanged him in the face. The footage is incredible. Like, there's this dude mouthing off at him, and Stevanja just goes, oh yeah? Bang! Most impressively though, the dude eats it. He's just like, fair play. I'm going to go sit down. It was amazing. I was so impressed. I'm like, get this guy in a fucking boxing ring. He can eat shit like there's no tomorrow. Unbelievable. Like, getting hit by a giant Serbian that size is like getting hit by a fucking Mack truck. Like, god damn. And he just went, oh, yeah, sure. Sat the fuck back down. I was in the wrong. You're right. Amazing. All right, let's do some game wraps. Game wraps. Now it looks like I'm sitting. This is weird. You got to watch the YouTube. This is strange. Anyway, Phoenix came up short against Minnesota. Is that a joke, Jim? Yes, because remember, Minnesota are fucking huge. 105-93. Weird game. Really, really weird game. Why is that, Jim? Because you couldn't fucking watch it anywhere in the world for the first quarter. This was nuts. League Pass is like, nah, fuck all yous. It was basically like the NBA like, oh, geez, it's a nice game we got here. Be a real shame if anybody could watch it. It's like, this is your product. You're trying to sell the NBA playoffs. You're trying to make everybody go, yes, we're really excited for the playoffs. And then you go, fuck ya, you can't watch it. It was like, I could watch it through betting apps. I couldn't watch it through the NBA's actual League Pass. And nor could the very nice people who were messaging me back from Brazil, Italy, Spain, the UK. I love that a dude in Brazil is like, you can't watch it in Brazil. I'm like, that rules. We're all getting fucked over together. How great is this? Then we could watch it from the second quarter. It was actually probably just as well because it actually got tired after that point. And this entire game, it was like a really shit chess match, if that makes sense. Because Airman couldn't hit a fucking shot. KD, Booker, and Beal were just kind of squirrely. And Jaden McDaniels just dominated KD this entire game. And that was the most impressive part for Minnesota. Like, we've seen them time and time again this year go, save us, Ant-Man. You're our only hope. And he's like, all right, fucking sure, man. He had a shit game. And they still kicked the fuck out of Phoenix in this game. Like, it was awesome. They had, like, especially Conley early on was shredding it. He, McDaniels, and Gobert were just like, all right, we'll pick up all the slack because Cat didn't do a fucking thing. He and Ant-Man, by the first, like, in the end of the first half, were just fucking MIA completely. You've got ANT, Ant-Man, KAT, and they were both MIA. It's like, feels like a fucking thing from like a Seinfeld fucking script or something. But it was a really, really strange game for just like the way that it played out. You could see every time that Phoenix were like, right, we've kind of got him on the run a little bit. Oh God, wait. How do we play defense again? They completely fucking cooked it. I don't know how you are some sort of fucking crazy offensive super team and you manage 93 points. You're paying $100 billion fucking dollars for Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Brad Beal, and you scored 93 fucking points. This might be because you're playing against a generational defense in Minnesota, but goddamn, what are you doing? Brad Beal's like, I actually don't know, Jim. I have no fucking clue what I'm doing. They lost Grayson Allen to a like twisted ankle again. He was playing on a banged up ankle already, right? So that's pretty shit. We get that. Eric Gordon, he was good. Nurk, Yusuf Nurkic, Bosnian Bear, hello. Got eaten up. He really did. And then so did Drew Eubanks. It was like, this is a lot of Drew Banks. Like, it's substantially more Drew Banks than I want to be seeing in a playoff game. To the point you're like, should they be playing Bol Bol like way more? Like, I think give us some more Bol Bol. Show us the Bol Bol. I want to see the Bol Bol. Anyway, Ant was like 2 of 10 from the floor going into the fourth quarter, and Minnesota had a 118 offensive rating. Like, that is just fucking chaos. It also shows you the sheer awesomeness of having an actual fucking point guard, Phoenix. Like, I mentioned this earlier. Chuck was like, Shaq, they don't have a point guard. And I told you, that's a problem. It is a fucking problem because he actually made a really good point about how the simple idea of like KD, Beal, and Booker should be finishing possessions right on offense rather than starting every fucking possession with the ball in their hands. It's like, yeah, it's a good point. But Conley sort of rode that idea for Minnesota. It's like, oh shit, Ant-Man's having a bit of a rough night. All right, cool. I'll get up a couple of shots, get us moving, get Rudy going. Feed McDaniels, and away they went. And they didn't look back. They kicked the fuck out of them. Just kept them at arm's length the rest of the way. Suns can't play small against this team because they're just too big. Gobert and Cat are too good. But McDaniels is the fucking revelation here. He was amazing today. He just ate up KD. And also, Nurk and Eubanks are pretty bad. KD, 18 points, 6 of 15 shooting, 0 of 2 from downtown. Not great. Not great. Booker, 20 points, 5 assists, 1 of 6 from downtown, 6 of 13 shooting. Again, not bad, but not great. Brad Beal, 6 of 17. Gross. 14 points, 6 assists. That's good. 4 turnovers. That's bad. Nurk had 10, 14, and 4. Playing like a lone hand when he wasn't in foul trouble. Gordon, 15 points, 3 of 5 from downtown as well. He had a couple of flashes. We were like, oh, maybe Eric Gordon can help save this guy. Oh, no. He's just gone completely cold again. So it was pretty weird. It was a strange game. And was it 8 of 22 from downtown for the Suns? 19 turnovers. Like this fourth quarter, they just went, how do we play defense? And they all looked at each other just like, fuck, I don't know. Do you remember? They all had collective amnesia. It was weird. There was like so many different times. Like this game was still there to be won. It was like a 6-point game. And then just beating our back cuts, dumb rotations. They just kept fucking up and Minnesota made them pay, got out in the run and boom, scored way too easily, put them to the swords, ran over the top of them. McDaniels ended up with 25 points. He was amazing. He's going to pop up again later. Hashtag spoiler alert. Conley, 18-4-4. As I mentioned, really, really important early after not doing much scoring-wise last game. Ant-Man, 15-8. Pretty good. 3 steals. Shot 3 of 12, though. 1 away from the magic number. That's a damn shame. Rudy Gobert, Steve Tavares had 18-9 as well. He was very, 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 very good. He just finds himself like, I don't know, he's got to look at Phoenix the way that I look at a tin. It's like, yes. Yes, can't wait to fuck that one up. It's small, it's tasty, it's great. Carl Anthony Towns, 12 points, 8 rebounds, shot 3 of 7 from downtown, I think it was. 3 of 7 overall, fuck yeah. He was like 0 of 5, I think, to start off with. No, that doesn't make any sense. He would have been 0 of 4 to start off with. I'm a math magician, producer Gerald, just saying. Naz Reid, 1 of 5 for 5 points. He didn't do too much. But Nikki Alexander-Walker had 10 points, and he is a fucking weapon off that bench. He had 5 assists as well. Who would have thought that Nikki Alexander-Walker would be the one who's just like, he's like the Dante Exum of America. He's like, well, he might even be Canadian though, now that I think about it. But he sort of just comes from nowhere and just shreds because he sort of got, you know, thrown to the scrap heap. And now he's like playing crucial, crucial backcourt minutes. He's Canadian. I knew it. That's one step ahead, apparently, but one step behind myself. But yeah, the way he plays defense, the way he commits himself to this fucking team, it makes a huge difference. Because you look at someone like Phoenix, and you're like, they'd give their left nut for a fucking Nikki Alexander-Walker at this point, right? Yusuf Nurkic is like, well, maybe perhaps already have. Anyway. Because you look at their backup guards and you're like, yeah, it's Royce, well, obviously Eric Gordon, but then Royce O'Neal and Drew Eubanks. The rest of it just sort of sucks. What about Isaiah Thomas? Get him out there for a bit of a run. Anyway, Minnesota lead 2-0. Game 3 is in Phoenix on, I want to say Friday is when the next run of these games is. No, Saturday. Their Friday, our Saturday. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Yes, it does, Jim. And you're also wrong. No, it is our Saturday. Yes. Nailed it. Having a shocker today. Indy beat the pants off Milwaukee. Ha-ha! Nailed it. 108 to 125. The Pacers, what happened here? Ran right over the fucking top of them. What did I say this morning and on yesterday's show? They'd run the fucking right over the top of them. Why is that? Because Milwaukee can't score. Dame Lillard can. The rest of them can't. Brooke Lopez hit 6 threes in this game and they still got fucking their ass handed to them because they couldn't stop this Pacers offense. The Pacers scored 30 points in every single quarter. You know what Milwaukee's offense can do? Not that. Seriously, the Bucks could not keep up. I think Lillard had 26 points in the first half, and they were still down by like 6-4 or 6 or whatever it was. And you're like, huh, that doesn't seem good, right? It's like, Jesus, what are you doing? Indy sort of like kept their noses in front. It was still a 4-point game at the start of the fourth quarter then. And then Indy just went, yeah, this is close, but we'll give it the old 1-2 Tim Zoo, whoop-bang, or the 1-2 fucking Stravanya, whoop. Giant Serbian. Siakam and Turner just went on a fucking tear out of nowhere, and literally before you could blink, they're up 20. You're like, yeah, that seems like that potent fucking Indy offense is pretty good, I reckon. And they literally turned it into a laugher. Like this game was over, and you're like, oh, this was close. Now it's not. Jesus. This is where you're going to be wary of the Pacers. They're terrifying. And that's why a team like the Bucks, without Giannis and without a very clearly fully healthy Chris Middleton, are cooked. And that's why I sort of picked Indy in 7 before the series. So here we are. For the Bucks, Dame managed only another 8 points in the second half. Geez, that seems like an interesting insight, Jim, because didn't he have 35 points in the last game in the first half and then 0 in the second half? Yes. It's a bit weird, isn't it? 22 for Brook Lopez. Hit 6 of 7 from downtown. They actually went 13 of 32 from 3, did the Bucks. 12 of those 13 makes were from Dame and from Brook Lopez alone. Nobody else hit any fucking shots. Middleton had 15, 5, and 6. He hit the other three. Nobody else got one. Fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world, had 14 and 11. The bench shot 7 of 17 total and 0 of 5 from downtown. Like, imagine if Malik Beasley was actually alive. Jim, he's alive. He is. Prove it. But yeah, Doc Rivers is like, yep, we didn't assert ourselves. And I don't know, people were saying that it'd be their offense versus our defense. I'm like, why are you concerned, Doc, about who they are? Shut the fuck up and coach your team. What are we doing here? He's like going back to his old commentator, like, I was listening to like on the other things and they were talking about our team and I started believing them. It's like, dude, get fucking pull your head out your ass. Pay attention to your team. You're killing me. Yeah, Malik Beasley, 0 of 1. He played 10 minutes, had 4 points off the bench. Paddy Connaughton went 2 of 3. 0 of 3 for Jay Crowder. Brutal gear for the Bucks. 1-1 now, Indy. Love that. Siakam at 37 and 11 and 6. He's a weapon. He's going to pop up again in a second. 22, 7 and 6 with 3 blocks and Miles Turner. And the 20 for Nembhard. So I mentioned this in the last game wrap, right? So of the game one, Nembhard and Naismith did fuck all. Today, they really stepped up. Naismith had 11, 5 and 7, went 3 of 8 from downtown. And Nembhard shot 8 of 11 for his 20 points. Halliburton still looks a little bit wonky. He had 12 and 12, but 3 of 7 from 3, kind of handy, but he should be shredding Dame. He's clearly not fucking fully right. But the big thing there, right, was their bench. Ain't no stopping. Obi Toppin, he had 9 points. TJ McConnell had 6 and 4. Ben Shepherd hit a couple of threes. He had 8 points. He actually started that run of that fourth quarter too. So on for young and old. Series tied 1-1. You love to see it. And then finally, Dallas. Held on to beat the Clippers 96-93. This is actually really 96-90, but Paul George hit a three right at the buzzer, which sent your mate Jim into a tailspin thinking that he had Dallas minus 3.5. The line was minus 2.5, you might remember from yesterday's show. They'd actually dropped to underdogs. They were plus 1.5 this morning when I was talking it out on the walk home from dropping off the squid. And yeah. You could just see just my life flashing before my eyes with that stupid three from Paul George. But it was okay in the end. We got there. But wow, what a sick game. We had an awesome, awesome, awesome Luka dagger in Harden's face. You had Maxi Kleber getting the missed free throw rebound that basically saved their game where it was like 94-90 with like, what, 12 seconds, 14 seconds left. And you're like, if you hadn't got that rebound, you would have had this moment of like, well, this is going to be a heartbreaking Mavericks loss, isn't it? And it's going to be fucking hilarious because they don't have any other way of losing, basically. But Kleber got the rebound. And the coolest part about that was Luka's like, yes, my very good friend, Maxi Kleber. Remember how I didn't fucking throw you under the bus last game and just shit talk you to the bench, to the media, to everybody, the fans? That never happened because you're my very good friend. Ah, it was very fun. Maxi Kleber has definitely got lots of mates all of a sudden. Yeah, like 9 seconds left after Kyrie missed that free throw. They're up 4. He misses that one. You're like, you're up 4, but if someone's going to fucking blow a 4-point lead in 9 seconds, it's definitely going to be the Mavs. They didn't. This was awesome. It was a knockdown, drag out, fucking just street fight all game. And every time the Dallas sort of got up, the Clippers just somehow manufactured like a way of staying close. Like, they never, ever, ever do shit easily, it feels like, against good teams to Dallas. And, like, even when they got up 9 with, like, a minute and a half to go with that Luka dagger, you're like, they should be fine. And then, like, a minute later, you're like, how are they going to lose this? Because Zoom's had that bucket. It was a 4-point game again. You're like, oh, God. God, God, God. Why would you bet on the Mavericks, he says. Why would you do it? Why would you do it to yourself? But Kawhi obviously looked a little bit underdone, not a surprise, considering he's fucked up knee, but he had a sick, like, sort of, Paul George or Harden, I think it was a Paul George miss early. And he was like, all right, cool. I'm going to just get this rebound and quick bunny hop, put it back up. And you're like, Jesus, if you got a bung knee, that's fucking hard to do. So he's a warrior. But they just sort of, none of this Clippers team really makes sense, right? When Kawhi and Paul George are pretty like struggle town like they were today. Harden played his ass off. It just felt like the Mavs, especially in that fourth quarter when it was like Luka getting to the line, because they were down with like 8 minutes to go. They were down 4 or 5. Luka got to the line. PJ Hamilton, Washington made a three. Luka made a three. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's why the Mavs are good. That's why they're always dangerous. They'll always just fucking hit threes out of nowhere. Anyway, great game. Awesome game. Felt like it would end in a brutal Dallas loss. They didn't. They managed to keep it close, and they kept scoring in the fourth quarter, which is like one of those big things, especially against a defense like the Clippers. If Kawhi was fully armed and operational, maybe this would have been a different story. Harden had 22 points. They shot 36% from the field, the Clippers. Brutal. Gross. 8 of 30 from downtown. Harden had 22, 6 and 8. Not bad. 2 of 10 from 3. Where was he when it was late? Oh, yeah, nowhere to be seen, basically. In fact, I think if you look through, I was just trying to remember, like, if Harden actually scored in the fourth quarter, he hit 1 3. Yeah. It was like right at the end when they got down 9, Harden had the 3 dropped in his face by Luka. Harden answered, but that was literally, I think, the only bucket he made the entire fourth. I've got some thoughts on that. Why is it, Jim? It's because it wasn't game one, where James Harden's had like a couple of weeks off just to rest up. Spend some time down at the strip club, spend some money, you know, put some ladies through college. Now it's game two, and he's like, whoa, fuck, everything hurts a bit. I'm a bit cooked. Jesus, wait for game four. Either way, Paul George, 22, 2 and 4, wasn't even that impressive because he hit the three right at the end. Kawhi, he had 15 and 7. He had 4 steals because he's a weapon. Zubes, 13 and 12, took a little bit to get going, obviously, did Avicii Zubac after dominating game one. He really struggled early in this one, went 1 of 5, then was missing fucking free throws. And you're like, Jesus, mate, you're cooked. But again, it's like the James Harden corollary, right? Awesome in game one. Game two, bit of a different story. Rusty Westbrook, 2 of 9 shooting, had 7, 9, 3, 1 and 1 though. Very handy, just where he sort of comes off flying around. Norm Powell shot 2 of 10, pretty tough there. Mavs, 14 to 33 from downtown. That was a big difference. Kawhi and Luka were fucking awesome. Luka had 32, 6 and 9, 5 of 14 from downtown. Kyrie went 4 of 8 from three. He had 23, 6, and 3 with 3 steals. That was also a big difference, right? They sort of manufactured a bunch of weird fucking shit buckets, which is really hard for Dallas, it feels like, to do. But PJ Hamilton, Washington, Kyrie, they were sort of just jumping passing lanes. They just got a couple of easy ones, which makes it, as long as that scoreboard is ticking over for Dallas, it feels like they're always in a game, right? PJ Hamilton, Washington, 18 and 6 with a couple of blocks. He went 3 of 4 from deep. Derek Jones Jr. had 10 and 7. Tim Hardaway the lesser looked like he hurt his ankle. Just saying, might be for the better. Needs more Dante. Right, this series is 1-1. That's awesome. Good times, great memories. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That is a knife. Siakam, I'll tell you what, that's Indy's first win in like years in the playoffs. They've been swept, swept, swept. They bring him in, and he played his ass off today. They kicked the shit out of the Bucks because of him. 37, 11, and 6, shot 16 of 23 and 3 of 4 from downtown. And, of course, Luka. That dagger that he hit in Harden's face was such a big boy move where you're just like, hey, James Harden, how my balls taste? It was pretty good. 32, 6, and 9, 11 of 26 shooting, 5 of 14 from downtown. But also was a very, very great, good teammate. Yes, very good, very great. Hello, Maxi Kleber, my very good friend. Very fun stuff. Yeah, especially that's a nice bounce back for happy, good Luka after a bit of a shit show last game. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
I'll tell you what. Had a few spuds today. Norm Powell went 2 of 10. Ant-Man, 3 of 12. Pretty brutal. But Brad Beal is one that gets me, right? 6 of 17. He has like flashes where you're like, God, he's a good basketball player. And then he misses like the next 8 shots. And you're like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? This sucks. Especially for how much he's getting paid, for how much they traded for him, and how big of a, air quotes, star he is. It's just a bit shit. Naz Reid going 1 of 5, not great. Pat Bev went 1 of 5. 2 of 9 for Rusty, as I mentioned. Ant-Man's 3 of 12, though, was pretty weird. But they still managed to win, so that was pretty impressive all up. Otherwise, the 6 of 17 from Brad Beal, it's literally the one that sort of stands out the most. You're like, all right, Bradley, what are you doing? Not much, clearly. Very spud-worthy. Doesn't help that your head looks like a spud, too. All right, old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Who's got no mates today? Anthony Edwards high-fiving or dapping up the ref as the ref is like, I'm showing you to, you have to take the side of bounds, side out of bounds. And Ant-Man's like, fuck yeah, I do. That was a good move, wasn't it? Yeah, fuck yeah. That's an old mate, like, oh, that's the thing that you wake up in the middle of the night going, I can't believe I did that. Fuck, I'm an idiot. Just the dread. You're just like, I look like a fucking moron. The thing is, Ant-Man probably gives absolutely zero shits that happens. He would be like, that was fucking funny as, I can't believe I fucked that up. That's awesome. I'm a legend though. Rock on me. Ant-Man's that kind of dude. Just got to be like more like Ant-Man. That's my motto now, Gerald. That's what it is. Tyrese Halliburton though, his weird voice. I very much enjoyed this. Like, he and Carl Anthony Towns just have, like, literally two different voices that they talk in. Like, Tyrese Halliburton's like, yeah, man, we had a really bad game today. It was, like, really, really tough. And, like, hey, so then we were talking like this, and it's like, oh, yeah, sure, so what's going on? Like, completely different. Carl Anthony Towns is like, hey, motherfucker, what are you doing over there? Oh, yeah, it was a really tough game, I'll tell you what. Like, it's just, it's fucking weird. Someone pointed out that it's his white side trying to assert itself. And I nearly fell off my fucking chair reading that. It's good. But Halliburton, it's literally like two different people talking. It's fucking weird. Go check it out. Pantsing of the night. This is the Luka dagger in Harden's face. Like the fucking shimmy, shimmy, bang. Very, very fucking nice. That's an absolute pantsing. This could also go to like the Sixers being pantsed by the refs if we want to sort of like lean on that a little bit more. I do wonder, like, if I want to look at the correlation of the amount of whinging the Sixers did after that game as to how many calls they get for the next game. Just keep an eye on that one. But yeah, they got pants by the refs. They lost that game probably because of them, but I'll get to that in a second in your nuts. And finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Better watch out, Jaden McDaniels. Especially if your name's Kevin Durant. Jeez, McDaniels did a number on him today, but also had 25-8-3 himself. That was why Minnesota won this game. This is why they could cruise through that fourth quarter kicking the fuck out of them, because his defense was awesome. And that's like that sort of thing that you forget about Minnesota. You're like, oh, they've got two really big dudes, Rudy Gobert, they've got Carl Anthony Towns, man. But also they've got a fucking fully armed and Operation Jenna McDaniels who hasn't punched a wall this year. And Ant-Man on defense, you're like, yeah, they're just ruining Devin Booker and fucking Brad Beal's shit. It's great. And yeah, he's way better than Lonzo Ball, because 25-8-3 is better than Lonzo's anything, well, anything Lonzo's ever posted in the playoffs, because never played in him. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Time for some year nahs, brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch. Get your merch. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Just click through on the socials as well. Off you go. Get a t-shirt. I'm wearing one of the nickname t-shirts today. God, they're comfy. I actually like this shirt as well, Gerald. It's a new one. It's very nice. Very nice. Anyway, go to NBAAustralia.com/shop. Click through on the socials as well. Get a hoodie. Get a t-shirt. Get a coffee mug. Get a stubby holder. So you can start your day off with NBA Australia with a coffee mug. You can listen to the show at some point, and then you can finish off with your stubby holder, smashing tins, wearing your t-shirt and your hoodie. It's a perfect day. I love it. I should do the same. Right. Yeah, Nas. I had a great one from Brettie P or Brett Pierce. Kobe with the good hair. White should have gotten most improved player over Tyrese Maxey. Maxey was already sick. He just got sicker. Kobe took a fucking leap this year. Yeah, nah. Yes. I love this. Because it's a very simple idea, right? Like, as I mentioned, Maxey went from 20.3 points a game to 25.9. It's a big leap, right? Rebounds, 3.5 to 6.0. Assists, 3.5 to 6.2. Rebounds, 2.9 to 3.7. And had a worse shooting percentage. Kobe went from 9.7 points a game to 19.1. Had his assists go from 2.8 to 5.1. Rebounds, 2.9 to 4.5. And he had a better shooting percentage. he was still playing with like DeMar DeRozan, with Vooch, with Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine for a big chunk of that season, and was fucking awesome. And I'd argue that he made a bigger leap. I'd also say that Jalen Williams, yes, it was his second year, but he went from like, holy shit, is this guy going to win? If he had a full-on, full-blown rookie campaign, he might have won Rookie of the Year last year. To this year, it's like, shit, is he an all-star? Like, what the fuck, man? Like, that's a huge leap. And like, it's Jalen Williams. He's not like a fucking top three pick, you know? Anyway, great job. Kobe should have won it. Just saying. Loved him. Jalen Williams was my pick just because that leap is fucking hard. But of course, we do expect people to improve in their second year in the NBA. Right. Other yeah nahs. Are the Clippers better without Kawhi? Yeah, nah. Well, clearly, yeah, because they won last game without him and they lost with him. Nah, I think obviously he makes them way better, way more dangerous. Their ceiling is way fucking higher. The problem is an undercooked Kawhi. It's just, we've seen him do it before, though. He's got like a fuck knee. He comes in and he like turns a game with just some of his insane defense shit that he does, right? That's just what he does. The tricky part is, I think it's the adjustment when you find out an hour before the game. Oh yeah, Kawhi's playing. And everyone's like, all right, fuck, how do we do that again? Shit. James and Zoobs, can you figure this out? And they're like, I mean, we'll try. And it's really tricky. And that's like something that discombobulates teams. And it very clearly happened in this one, right? Like he was kind of, you're not going to say a non-factor in offense because he was floating around causing all sorts of havoc. Because that's what he fucking does. He's a weird lunatic fucking T-1000 motherfucker. But it sort of threw the entire team out of rhythm. So Dallas, thank fuck they stole that game. Because if they had lost that, it would have been an absolute unmitigated disaster. And for a team that has lots of unmitigated disasters, it would have been the latest. Do the Suns win a game in this series? Yeah, nah. Yeah, they will. I think, look, for a team that was up 3-0 on them in the season series, once they get home, I think it's a little bit easier. The big problem is like losing Grayson Allen fucking really hurts, which is not a sentence you want to be uttering in the year 2024, but it does. Like maybe they have to play more Okogie as his old team. We'll see what happens there. But I think they at least snag one of those ones at home. They probably should win both. Like you got to expect Beal and Booker to be way better, especially with a little bit of home cooking. KD, I don't know, you know my thoughts on KD. They're very complicated. But mostly, he's a snake and he's a bit cooked now. And also sucked in for leaving Brooklyn. They will win a game. I think this series is not as interesting as we perhaps thought it was. Because they've done this without like Ant-Man being really good in game one and then being a bit of an offensive non-factor in game two and still winning that game is fucking huge for the Wolves. Like, especially with Kat also struggling because usually, if Ant-Man has like a quiet game, Karl Anthony Towns goes, all right, I'll score like 24 and be very handy. Today it was everybody else. That's worrisome if you're the Suns. Anyway, did the Sixers get jobbed? Yeah, nah. Yeah, of course they did. The last 2 minutes fucking report came out and it's like, yeah, we fucked yous. Like that's basically what it said. In very, very NBA sort of things, it's like, yes, we should have called a foul and there was a no call that was correct, but then we missed these two calls. So what we did is we firmly placed things into your buttocks and completely fucked you. So there you go. Really sorry about that. Nothing you can do about it. Sucked in. We're moving on. They got jobbed. But also, like, make your own luck in that situation. Like, call the fucking timeout before inbounding the ball. If they do that, they win the game. They inbound it. They leave it to the fucking refs. The refs are like, oh, what are we doing? Oh, God, this big MSG crowd. Fuck, Spike Lee's going to kill me if I do anything. Ah! And then Dante DiVincenzo hits fucking a massive shot. Like, the craziest part is we've got 87 fucking camera views of that game, like, of that inbounds thing. And there's so much contact. Like, the push-off, I'm still like, that's probably a foul. Josh Hart. There's like the tug from Brunson on Maxi's jersey. Maxi then sort of like half flops though. So maybe don't do that and lose the ball. Just fucking catch the ball. Even if someone is tugging on your jersey, get fouled and you're all good. Josh Hart pole axes him. He's on the floor. Everyone's like, oh, that was probably a foul. The ref's like, nah, let him play. It's like, what the fuck is happening? So yeah, the Sixers got completely jobbed, but also make your own luck. Unpopular opinion of the day. I know where that button is.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
All right, updated most frustrating teams after two games rankings. Number one, still Philly. Number two, that's now Phoenix. Number three, Orlando. Four is probably going to have to be the Bucks because, God, they're a slog to watch. Like, without Giannis, it's like, fuck. Like, Dame is, like, hitting shots, and they were up and about in that second quarter. They were vibing, and then it all went to shit. Yeah, so that's where they are at the moment. The Mavericks probably still fifth because fucking hell. If you're a Mavericks fan, you're like, why do I do this to myself? It's like me being a Carlton fan. It's just like every game is fucking torture. Jesus, can you just win one easily? Anyway, finally, let's do a bit of Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback. You know what that means? Oh, yeah, midweek specials. And that basically means that we dug up the wombat that we buried last week. We'll call it a wombat hungy. That's right. We'll steal it from our Antipodean friends over there in Kiwi land. That's right. Wombat hungy. Only at Outback. Might smell a bit, but she's bloody delicious. The meat just falls off the bone, Gerald, I'll tell you. It's beautiful. And it's a flame grilled take. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is, if Luka and the Mavs end up winning this series, Luka Doncic will be your MVP next year. Only at Outback. Yeah, look, so this is one where I'm like, narratives need to be set, right? And last year, the way that the Mavs sort of just have these like weird up and down seasons, this year they bring in Kyrie, everything's sort of smooth sailing. The thing is, if they get by the Clippers in this series and then put up a fight in the second round, everybody's going to be like, oh yeah, Luka did it on the big stage again. He's already made a Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago. Don't get me wrong. But even if, like, so you looked at the MVP voting for this year, it'll be Jokic, it'll be Luka, it'll be SGA. And if we have a similar sort of situation next year, this will be in the back of everyone's minds. Same with Jokic. It's like, oh, well, we fucked that last year because we voted for Embiid, and then Jokic went on and won the fucking title. We're all idiots. We're not going to do that again. And Luka will win the MVP. Just saying. Remember that. Right, really quick Australian play watch because it was only the two Aussies and they didn't do much today. I'll tell you what, Dante Sexum up Exum, Kangaroo Kobe played 6 minutes. He had 0 points and went 0 of 1 from the floor. One rebound and one block though. Had a brutal foul that Harden baited him into basically, hooking him on the elbow, and Dante sort of just kept moving into him. And it's like, did they call it on the contact or did they call it for him moving into like Harden's landing zone? I wasn't sure. I'm like, ah. I think Exum just got dogged by the anti-Australian refs, but at the same time, it's probably a foul. Anyway, one rebound, one block. And then we had Greeny, Josh Greeny Green, Scott Green. 0 of 2 in 14 minutes, but fucking hell, gave them a very, very, very nice 14 minutes. Because even though he missed both those threes, he had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. The rebounds especially, you're just like, yeah, when he's flying around, fuck, he looks good. So, very nice. All right, what about an Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence? While Jim finds the button. It's the first
and you won the Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber
Award. Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. All right, love that. Easy one. Siakam. So they brought him in for his playoff experience, obviously, the old Pacers. Also fits a very nice archetype if you're going to try to throw him against like the likes of Middleton or Giannis, I guess. But he also became the first NBA player to open a postseason with consecutive 35-point, 10-rebound performances since Wilt Chamberlain in 1967. Yeah, it's pretty good. Holy shit. Not bad, Pascal Siakam. Love that. All right, Patty Mills, Game Day Buller, Game Day Twitter check-in. AKA, Jim gets his phone out and looks at Patty Mills' Instagram. Actually, it looks like Jock Landau's done something. There we go. What's Jock said? Oh, yeah. As I said the other day, it's still pictures of him on holiday with the missus, and it feels weird to be looking. Not a perv, just a ginger. looks like they're having fun. I don't know where they are, but that looks fucking lovely. I'm going to judge from the sun. I'm going to say Mexico. What do you reckon, Gerald? Is that a good... All right, that's a good guess. There's something about the sun down there, you know what I'm saying? Both coasts. Yeah, we've done both coasts. I've been to Mexico City as well. Spent a bunch of time in Mexico, not a drug mule. Right, let's do the game previews.
Game previews, game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
I tell you what, hashtag Dagstraya for a second. Fucking it'd be nice if the kid could go to daycare. Jesus. So squid number two, just been hanging out with his old man all week, every morning. Until luckily, old mate, she can sort of then look after him in the afternoon. Or else I'd be getting fucking nothing done. Hand, foot, and mouth. It has been shit house. The old fucking, what is it called? Daycare disease. And yeah, so he had a rough go of it. Just when like, he had like an ulcer in his mouth and he didn't want to eat or drink. And it's like, Jesus, this sucks. And then like he was getting good. And then had a couple more blisters on his feet. We've gone to the fucking doctors, get the old clear time and time again. It's like, whoa, there's some more down there. Like, fuck, didn't even see those. Jesus. Anyway, so he's hoping he gets to go on Friday. Sorry. It's fucked. He hasn't gone to daycare since like last Wednesday. It's a full week. Anyway. Woo! That one's for all the dads out there just nodding along going, yeah, fucked. Because I know you're out there doing exactly that. Right, tomorrow's games. We went 3-3 today. It was pretty good. Especially after I think we went 1-3 yesterday. But 3-3, we'll take that. Tomorrow, Miami or Boston? Do we expect Miami to bounce back? They lost by 20 last game in game one. I expect them to be a little bit better in this one. The 14.5 point line is still there. I'm actually going to go Miami this time. I think they figure out a couple of things, make this a little bit closer, but they still get their ass kicked and lose by about 12. I'd say it's like that 10 to 12 mark. I think you have probably way more offensive upside from Hero and co. Boston will still beat them and kick their ass, but Miami will cover that 14.5. They're too good. New Orleans OKC though. Game two, -7.5 in OKC. The Thunder are favorite, obviously, at home. 7.5 points. Last game was an absolute barn burner. The Pelicans' defense keeps them in these games. However, I think OKC just eke out an 8-point winnie or something here. So I'm going to actually take OKC -7.5. Giddy did fuck all in game one. J-Dub was pretty handy. Chet was pretty handy. SGA was really good without actually going for over the 30 at the 28 points or whatever it was. I think there's a little bit more offensive upside in OKC. Spindles, Ingram, and co. for the Pelicans. Look, Trey Murphy, we know he's awesome. CJ McCollum got going late. Spindles was horrible at times. They can probably like put up a bit of a fight. I just like OKC's offensive upside a little bit more, and I think they win this one at home. I was very, like, I actually went back and forth on this, though, because I'm like, New Orleans defense is really fucking good. Between Herb Jones, they can throw in the Dustbuster, Dyson Daniels here and there. But I think OKC just have one little bit of extra oomph in them to get them a win and get them over the hump there. And I think we'll go OKC -7.5. So there you go. The two games tomorrow, Miami, OKC, they're our picks, +14.5 and -7.5. I think we'll reiterate. Oh, maybe I'll do a video tomorrow morning. The kid doesn't go to school tomorrow, so like I'll just be hanging out. It is a nice one on the walk home. You're like, oh shit, I better do that video, eh? Anyway, that's it for today. There you go. Let's press the button. Get out of here. We'll be back on deck tomorrow. Very quick show tomorrow because we're actually taping an AFL Today Show live stream. And that'll be going during Anzac Day game. So we might try to do the NBA show beforehand. Don't know. Probably not, actually. We'll see. We'll probably figure that one out, Gerald. What do you reckon? What time do those NBA games start tomorrow? He says, doing this live on the show. The games do start tomorrow at 9 and 11:30. We probably could actually do NBA before we start the live stream. We'll see what happens. Either way, there will be an NBA show tomorrow. Check it out. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA show on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials. You know that. Get around the AFL Today show as well. Subscribe, like, and star, all of that and all the good stuff. Check it out on YouTube. Check this one out on YouTube and get around the live stream. That's going to be fun as hell. If you enjoy those Boomers live streams that we've done over the years, these AFL ones are really good. If you're into Supercoach as well, we'll have Al hanging out with myself and Stats Guy talking a bunch of shit for the entire Essendon-Collingwood game. Should be very, very fun. Yeah, it's going to be a big day tomorrow, tell you what. Anyway, do all that. Check out NFL Australia. Check out the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast. Hold all tickets. Like, subscribe, and star all of those as well across all of your Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, whatever app you're using, an Android phone. How are you listening to your podcast? Just do that. comment, like, star. Just give us a review as well. Just be like, Jim, you do okay, buddy. Or just tell me to fuck off. It all works. Go to nbaaustralia.com/shop. Get your merch. And big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. They rule. So do House Hats, Joshua Delarendis, Fascinated Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Should I, Green, 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 and Dozers. They're behind all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Have you listened to your tunes, follow your bands? Do that. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. So should you. You gotta watch this on YouTube. It's fun as hell. Like, it's just like, Jim is just fucking waving his arms around, doing weird shit, grinning at the camera like a lunatic. It's pretty fun. No skit today, but we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Remember to check out that live stream, AFL Today Show, on all the socials, Sports Today Show on the old Facebook too. I'll share it out through NBA Australia though. Either way, have a good Anzac Day. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosanna!